Let us bow. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We thank you, God, for just that being God. For as the awesome and sovereign ruler of this universe, you saw fit to be perfect in every way. We thank you that you gave your perfect son to us, that he might be the perfect sacrifice, that he might shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Oh God, we thank you for raising him to new life, that we might have life, and that abundantly. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Ghost, for you speak divine truth to us, revealing your holiness to us and guiding our every footstep. Lord, we thank you for the church, a place that sinners might come and find refuge. We thank you for your word, Lord God, that we might feast upon it, that we might look and truly live. We thank you, Lord God, for the people that have gathered here, that we in fellowship might worship you corporately, that we might be all the more blessed by bowing at your feet, that we might be edified and that our lives might be changed for the better for encountering you. So, Lord God, we thank you for the privilege that is worship. Lord God, I thank you for the privilege that is preaching your word. Wash your servant now, Lord God. Fit me the care of the cross of Jesus the Christ. Lord God, I decrease that you might increase. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord Christ, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good afternoon, Second Baptist. Well, it's been a little while. I've grown a few pounds out. Hopefully I'll lose some of those pounds, but it's so good to see so many of you. Thank you all again, and thank this fine pastor who has taught me so many lessons that some of them I think back on as I go through different experiences in life, and I say, Dr. Jemison knew what he was talking about. I have to say that publicly, because sometimes, you know, when we would be in his office or in the car or just talking, you know, I would be a stubborn student. But some of it is sinking in, Doctor, and I thank you for your patience and your love. And I'm just so thankful for what this church has done for my life at that pivotal point. And I won't cry today. It's something about this Second Baptist air that makes my eyes sweat a little bit. But I'm indeed glad to be back in the house with you this morning, and thank these other fine ministers and my seminary classmate in particular. DeWarren Ennis came to take me out to breakfast yesterday, and he brought Reverend Jackson with him, and come to find out, Reverend Jackson's a Unionite too, so Virginia Union is in the house. I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge my family, my Uncle W.J., well, Dr. W.J. Lett, and his wife, Aunt Patsy, where I see my uncle there and Aunt Patsy there. Thank you all for the continued support that you give me, and I would also be remiss if they're not blood family, but they are, you know, as we say, family in fellowship and choice. And that's the Russ family. Just thank you all for the hospitality and love that you have shown me over the years, and just continued support and prayers. I have to say this as a music major and music professional. I still sometimes, you know, I can remember sitting here on Sunday mornings as Dr. Jemison would do the call to worship and just imagining the vaulted ceiling just opening up and a dove descending as LaFay Durin would play that organ. Oh, my goodness. I just, And today I just had to chuckle as I just had to look up at the different ranks of the organ, and it's, oh my goodness, I missed that organ. And it's just an amazing feeling being, what I'm going to say is, back home in Second Baptist. And to the special guests of the day and the honorees of the day, to the youth of Second Baptist Church, it's so good to see so many familiar faces, but it's so good to see unfamiliar faces too. In particular, I can remember James when he was really little. I think he was playing drums when I was here, and I think they were first getting to the church then. And Jada Ennis, man, I remember her from Virginia more so than here at Second Baptist. So it's just good to see these young people growing up and with so much talent and so much to offer the world. And that's what we're here to celebrate today. And I can't remember his first name off the top of my head, but the young man that prayed, when I looked at him, I said, he got to be one of the Pope boys. Sebastian Pope. They just have a look. And just say, again, thank you. I bring you greetings again from my pastor, Reverend Otis Dion Culliver II, from Tabernacle Baptist Church. And I extend you love from my father and mother, Reverend Dr. Charles Ellett Sr., of Aimwell Missionary Baptist Church. And as I see one of them walking in, I got the chance to fellowship with the greatest fraternity in the world yesterday, the brothers of the Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. And just want to say thank the brothers for the hospitality they showed me yesterday, and again, as worshiping with us this morning. We won't trouble you for too long, but there is a word from the Lord. And I'll just direct your attention to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I didn't know the theme, but it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit works. That what we meditated on and prayed about falls in line with this idea of purity as possible. But the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, read as follows. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You may be seated. Just don't want to trouble you too long, but just want to have this in mind. Born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. If you read my bio in the teller, you would have seen that I teach high school choral music. And I see young people growing up in Selma, Alabama, which is a hub in the poorest county of the poorest state of the Union. See so many young people with so much talent. They have a bright future that's right within grasp, but a poverty mindset that holds them back from achieving such. a poverty mindset that makes them take for granted the resources that are readily available. And I just want to talk to our young people here at Second Baptist. I know it's a little bit of a different life setting. You might not be quite as country. You might not be growing up in the hood like we are in Selma, which so many news outlets call Selma one of the most dangerous cities to live in America. But we hope today that we can have a relevant word for you, that you too won't fall prey to groupthink and falling into the traps of falling in line with some of our peers that are going on a downward spiral. We have to know who we are in God. One of my favorite movies in recent times is Black Panther. I've been following the Marvel universe for quite some time now. But this particular movie, Black Panther, has a very special, essential question. This question, three simple words: who are you? Who are you? When that particular question was asked in the movie, it shifted the whole narrative. It changed the whole atmosphere. Because when the person who answered that question answered it with the statement that they did, it changed everybody's idea of who they were. It showed people that he knew his history, he knew who he was, and he dispelled all of the lies that had been told about him. And that's where we have to come to grips with as young people in Christ. We are not trying to get in to fit in. We are not a part of the cool crowd. We are a peculiar people. We are called out by God. We are sanctified. That means that we are set apart. It's something special about you young people here at Second Baptist. The crowd at school, no, that's not your crowd. You get with the holy crowd. So they might like to smoke and do some other things like that, but that's not who you are. That's not how you were made. You were not built for that. See, we have to know who we are, because if we rely on them to tell us who we are, then they will tell us that we're less than. So I like what the hip-hop artist Kendrick Lamar says. He says, "I've got loyalty, yes, royalty, inside my DNA. This is who I am. It's woven into my very being." But I like the way the Bible says it a little bit better. See, the Bible says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says that God made us in his image, putting a spark of his holy light in each and every one of us. It doesn't matter if we're black. It doesn't matter if we're Latino. It doesn't matter if we're white. It doesn't matter if we're Asian. God put a spark of himself in each and every one of us. Young people, I need you to believe today that you are special, that you are somebody, and that God has purpose for your life. In the text, we find Nicodemus in the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of John is really ripe with very symbolic language. You find a lot of metaphors in the Gospel of John, and you see Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. That's significant, because this metaphor of light and darkness, see, light symbolizes the presence of God, and darkness symbolizes God's absence. I know there's an old song that some of y'all know that says, "The nighttime is the right time." But Nicodemus felt like the nighttime was the right time to get some enlightenment. And I don't know what the right time was way back in the day. Y'all can figure that out and pray on your way home dealing with that. But he asked Jesus, how can we get to the kingdom of God? Jesus tells him that he has to be born again. Yes. Born again. And I think that is what we have to deal with today, is that we really have to deal with the deeper symbolism of us as followers of Christ truly being born again. There's you know, three ways that you can look at that. This born anothen, as the Greek would say, it's three different ways. You can look at it as simply being born again, born another time. And that's where you see Nicodemus and his elementary understanding. He's wondering, how can a man enter his mother's womb again? But it's another way to look at this thing. It's also that it means that you are born from above. Yes. Instead of this earthly birth, there is a heavenly birth that must take place. But also that we are born anew. So that means that we are a new creature. We are not the same as we always were. Our identity is new, and we find our identity in the Spirit. Yes, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a keeper of the law. He spent his entire life studying the Scripture, but did not have the Spirit. He was a ruler of the people, but didn't understand the dynamics of God's rule. He was a person who was a church member his whole life, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't have understanding. And I just want to warn somebody, don't just be a church member, but you better find God while you're in these doors, while you're in these walls. You better let God into your heart. You better let God come in and change your thinking, change your way of being, that you might be a new creature. It's not enough just to have your name on Second Baptist Roll, but you got to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My brother, my sister, I ask you today, are you saved today? Has he changed you? Has he washed you and made you whole? But Jesus is astonished by Nicodemus's ignorance. This is a man who was very well educated. He was at the same time greatly misinformed. I was a student in the Robert L. Jemison's class of homiletics, so I like to tell stories. And just a few years ago, I went to a chiropractor. I was having some pain in my neck and my shoulder, and went to a chiropractor. And I didn't, you know, it wasn't that bad, but you know, I went to the chiropractor and I said, okay, they're gonna just, you know, come, you know, beat on me a little bit, rub on me, and I feel a little bit better. You know, I just thought I was good. You know, it was just a little bit of pain, you know, proud young black man. And went in there, and one of the first things they did was they had me fill out some paperwork, obviously, and they took me to the back so that they could do an x-ray on me. Okay, cool. We did the x-ray. I did one little exercise with them, and you know, I said, okay, I feel pretty good. Okay. And they said, okay, Mr. Lett, you can come on back on Friday, and we'll take a look at that x-ray. Cool, no biggie. But then when I get back on Friday, and I take a look at my x-ray, and I see some of the issues that were going on in my body, it changed my whole thought process. But it makes me think homiletically here, what if we saw our own spiritual x-ray? What are the issues that are going on in our spirit that are underlying, that we don't even realize, that are causing pain in the body of Christ? Are all of our bones aligned in our body? Are things the way they should be on our spiritual x-ray? Because, see, this suit, you know, I paid a lot of money to look good in this suit, but God doesn't just look at this suit. He doesn't just look at this tie, but God is looking on the inside, and he can see the deep issues. When God looks at our heart, does it look tailor-made? Does it look like it's fitted perfectly for you? Does it look as good as some of these fine and beautiful hats that I see out here? What would we see if we looked at our spiritual x-ray? Yeah, see, Jesus' metaphor for rebirth here is, it speaks of transformation. It speaks of transformation, and not transformation of the world itself, but it speaks of transformation of God's people first. One of the first things that we had to deal with in seminary, and DeWarren remembers this, is that when we got to pastoral care class, the first thing we had to deal with was our own issues.
And I think here early in the Gospel of John, that's what Jesus is trying to help us deal with. Let's deal with our own issues before I send you out into the world. So young people, what does your spiritual x-ray look like? Are there any issues? Do you read the word? Do you pray without ceasing? Do you obey your parents? Are you staying up on your lesson? Are you walking the straight and narrow pathway? All of us have to answer these questions for ourselves. And, you know, so how is it that we can see the signs that, you know, you've been born of the Spirit? See, when you're born of something, it's not just that you agree with a certain idea, but you really sell yourself over. That becomes the core of who you are. So instead of just being born of the water, we are born of the Spirit. The baptism is really, as we do it in the Baptist church, it's a symbol of the resurrection. The person that went down in the water has died to sin, but God raises that person up to new life in Christ. That has to be who we are. And, you know, so I wonder, if, you know, what will we see? What's on the inside? You know, I like to watch TV a little bit, and used to watch this show called Cops, and, you know, saw the police pull over this guy, and, you know, he was walking a little off. You know, he had some of that that stuff, you know, with them granddaddies and them E&J and Mad Dog and some of that other stuff, them peach. Y'all know some of that stuff. And he had a little too much of it. And so the police officers decided that they would give him a breathalyzer test. Now, the thing about the breathalyzer test is that they would put the little machine up to you and just make you breathe into it. So what you have consumed will come out of you. So the thing is, have we consumed enough of the Spirit? Have we consumed enough of the world, the word? Can anybody tell what's inside of us, that God is inside of us based on what comes out of us? Like, you know, when the drunkard does the breathalyzer test, all of the alcohol and the contents of his blood comes out in his breath. What comes out of our mouth? Is that a sign that we are born of the Spirit? Do we sing Zion songs outside of the church walls? Can people tell that there's something special about us based on what comes out of our mouth when we walk out of the church? What are the signs that people can see that we are a special and peculiar people? You know, I changed the channel, and some of you all might know this show, The Maury Povich Show. Oh, yeah, y'all watch that show too. I can tell. And on The Maury Povich Show, you know, they'll you know, have Tanisha, and she'll come out and tell her story. And not your Tanisha. God bless you. And just the first name that came to mind. Shatima, is that one? I'm all right with Tanisha. Okay. And Tanisha's telling her story about how, you know, she and Tyrone were friends, and it got a little too intimate and personal, and Tanisha got pregnant. And what do? They bring Tyrone out, and everybody's all booing and, you know, and clapping. And Tyrone comes out, and he's staying his case and talking all this stuff about the baby not his, the baby doesn't even look like me, blah, blah, blah. And then finally, after all of that arguing, Maury Povich comes out with the blood test. And he says, Tyrone, in the case of little TJ. Too close, I'm sorry. I'm picking on my classmate today. In the case of little TJ, the blood results, the DNA test shows that you are not the father. And, you know, and then everybody, and, you know, and Tanisha goes to the back crying because she's just certain that he was the father. But you know what that makes me wonder is if anybody looked at our spiritual DNA test, wouldn't it be a shame if they said, in the case of little Colin, God, you are not the father. In the case of little Colin, Jesus, you cannot be the father. Wouldn't that be a shame? If somebody looked at our spiritual DNA test and said, you can't be a child of the God. See, there has to be some kind of sign that you show in your life. There has to be something in your DNA that shows that you are his child. Young people, let me tell you, just like the Apostle Paul wanted to tell you, the signs that you are a child of God. And it's very simple, found in the book of Galatians. Chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Are you loving? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There is no law against any of those things. Can we see these fruit being coming in your life? Are these characteristics of you? We should be able to read this list again. And I ought to be able to say, I'm describing Jada. Or I'm describing Sydney. Or I'm describing Cachet. Or I'm describing Seven. Or you know, I should be able to look at this list and be talking about you. This is what we're dealing with today. We have to be born of the Spirit. We have to, you know, as Dr. Jemison told me when I was working here, you have to put your whole soul into doing ministry. You have to put your whole soul into doing the will of God. You can't go halfway. You got to worship God with all your might and all your strength and all of your being. And I like this this artist, Lauryn Hill. She said, I want to let young people know that it's not a burden to love God and to represent him and to be who you are, as fly and as hard and as hip or whatever, and still love God and serve him. It's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. You can be cool and you can be fly and you can be pretty, but you can still give your whole life to God. There's no compromising. We have to be the standard. We have to set the standard. We are children of light. Know ye not that you are the salt of the earth? You just quoted Stevie Wonder earlier. I believe the children are the future. But you can't be the future unless you're the salt of the earth. God said that about you. Jesus was wanting to look at you and say, you are the light of the world. That's who God is calling us to be. And church, I have to take my seat, but I'm reminded of one day I went to the gym, and I got on an elliptical machine, and you know, so I could get my cardio in. And you know, you have different types of personalities in whatever gym you go to. There are folks like me that go and we put our headphones on and we just want to fade into oblivion. We just want to get our workout in and we want to go home. Then there are other folks that they got it together so much that they want everybody to see them. They walking around the gym speaking to folks and hot dogging. And you know, so I saw this hot dogging brother get on a treadmill, and you know, he punching the numbers in, and he saw fine Sister Susan walk in come like right down the row from him. So, you know, he's doing all of this hot dog and he's trying to impress her. So he turns the numbers up on that treadmill and it's just running. So the brother man gets on the treadmill and he's just running with it and he's just going fast. Yeah, he just cool and everything. But he sees Sister Susan looking good, so, and he sees her looking at him. So what does he do? He turns around backwards and tries to run on the treadmill going fast backwards. And not too much longer after he turned around, y'all tell me what happened. Badoop. Yes. He fell, and I had to stop on my machine because I was laughing so hard. But the thing is, some of us do that in the church. See, some of us are trying to turn around backwards on something that's requiring us to go forward. See, God wants a new thing in us. He doesn't want us to turn around backwards to what we used to be. God wants to do something greater. God wants to do something new. And I have to take my seat, but I would be remiss if I didn't take the opportunity to celebrate the fact that we have a Christ who sacrificed and makes us new. Yes, yes, God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes, Christ is trying to do something new with us. He sacrificed himself, and he is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He wasn't a part of the cool crowd. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I'm glad today that I have a Christ who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but he humbled himself, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness. Being found in human form, he humbled himself even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, or because of that fact, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus, the heavens shall tell of his glory. At the name of Jesus, praise shall spring up from the earth. At the name of Jesus, these young people will be great. At the name of Jesus, we are more than conquerors. At the name of Jesus, the wasteland will be glad. At the name of Jesus, the east side will be the land of milk and honey. At the name of Jesus, we are new creatures. At the name of Jesus, God will bring us new life. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And every knee should bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. If you don't mind, I just want to take us to the country real quick, and hopefully y'all can just catch on with me. I feel the fire burning. Oh, I feel the fire burning. I feel the fire burning in my heart. Oh, I feel the fire burning. Oh, Lord, I feel the fire burning. Oh, I feel the fire burning in my heart. Sing that with me again. I feel the fire burning. Oh, I feel the fire burning. Oh, I feel the fire burning in my heart. Oh, I feel the fire burning. Oh, Lord, I feel the fire. Feel the fire burning in my heart. I know too much about him. Oh, I know too much about him. Oh, I know too much about him in my heart. Oh, I know too much about him. Oh, Lord, I know too much. I know
about him in my heart. You can't make me doubt him. Oh, you can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him in my heart. Oh, you can't make. Oh, no, you can't make. Oh, you can't make me doubt him in my heart. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in my heart. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus in my heart. I feel the fire.
Hallelujah.
And all the people of God said amen. Amen. Did not our hearts burn within as the man of God stood before us and proclaimed the word of God? I don't know about you, but Reverend Letch, you can preach next Sunday if you want to. We praise God for the preached word, how he blessed our souls. Thank you, young people. I hope you heard the message. Parents, I hope we heard the message. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised in this place. The door to my Father's house stands open. If you do not have a church home, you're living here in the city, we'd like for you to become a part of the Second Baptist Church. Church that lives by the word of God. The word of God is taught here. The word of God is preached here. The word of God. Choir sings the word of God. Sister Russell, good seeing you. Standing, door to my Father's house.
I give you praise.
Come on, say it.
Glorify your name. Hallelujah.
Come on, Wilson.
Lord, I give you praise. I give you praise. Glorify your name. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you praise.
Deacons are walking.
Glorify your name. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you praise.
You may be afraid to walk by yourself, but they'll walk with you.
I give you praise. Glorify your name. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you praise.
We invite all of our college students home from college to come down for prayer. All of our college students, all our college graduates, the Lord has brought you through college. Would you come? You're in college now. Would you come? This is your opportunity. This is your time. Thank you. We see you coming. Come on, church. Let's praise God for these students. Invite Reverend Jackson to come. We're praying for Sandra, who asked for prayer for her family. We're praying for these college students and graduates. Reverend Jackson, lead us as we stand.
God, how grateful we are for this day. And we come now thanking you for these young people who are seeking to further their education. We thank you for how far you have brought them.
Yeah.
Pray that you would continue to be with them in their studies, help them in their work, help them in their pursuits, that they may not only seek to better themselves, but they seek to help mankind and glorify your name. Pray that whatever needs that they stand in need of, that you would meet them according to your provision and your wisdom. We pray whatever is facing them that causes them struggle or uncertainty or difficulty, that you would touch hearts and minds, lead them to not give up, but to lean upon you and trust in you, knowing that you have begun a good work in them, and you've promised to see it all the way to the end. Pray for all of those who their families, who continue to support them and encourage them, and then we as their church family, we pray that you would bless us to be of a support and encouragement to them as well. We thank you again for what you have done, and we give you praise even for that which is to come. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask it all. Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated as Miss Olson comes and Naya comes to offer their remarks.
Good afternoon, church.
Good afternoon.
I want to first of all give honor to God for giving me the strength to even participate as a co-chairperson. I wasn't asked. I was just told you're going to be a chairperson. And I was like, okay. Cool, I have a daughter that's young, so yeah, this will be cool, I'll do it. And the experience was really great. I learned a lot of things that I didn't know about the process of putting together Youth Day, so I just want to tell to Reverend Jackson and Naya, thank you for including me in the process. And I also want to say to Reverend Lett, I'm a little seasoned, I'm not going to say I'm old, so when I tell you this, I know you're going to understand what I'm saying. You did that, boo-boo. You did that. I mean, you did that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've never heard you preach before, and I just want to say again, you did that, boo-boo. You did that. And I hope everyone goes over to the SBC Center because I've been told that we have a good meal for everyone to take part in. And again, thank you for letting me be a co-chairperson. Hopefully, I'll get to do it again.
We're prepared this time. Okay. Hello, Second Baptist.
Hello.
I would like to say thank you to Pastor Jimerson, Reverend Lett, ministers of the pulpit, to our Youth Day sponsors, Ms. Loretta Olison and Naya Realridge, to our clinician, Ms. Lee, to Ms. Pope and her volunteers who came to decorate, to Mr. and Mrs. Brown and the Calvary Baptist Church Youth Ushers, to Lexi Carson, for coordinating the food for our Youth Day reception, to the Second Baptist Church staff, Ms. Winfrey and Ms. Wilridge, to Reverend Jackson for his works behind the scenes, to Ms. Dickerson and the members of JAM, and to all others who have led us today in music ministries. I want to thank you all for your willingness to support us in all that we do. Can Ms. Lee come up here to the front, please? To Ms. Lee, thank you for accepting the call to be this year's Youth Day clinician. Thank you for leading us with your time, lending us your time and talents. We are so appreciative of your dedication to serving God and the youth. Thank you. To Ms. Loretta, thank you for taking on the responsibility of coordinating this year's Youth Day and for incorporating the ideas of this of the youth's ideas into this Youth Day, because it's like a special day for us and we wanted our ideas to be present. So thank you a lot for that. To Reverend Lett. To Reverend Lett, thank you for leading us in today's celebration for the Second Baptist Youth. Let me take this opportunity to thank God for the Holy Spirit. Oh my God, for the Holy Spirit that used you today to give us a great sermon that uplifted our spirits. Thank you and God bless. Once again, I would like to thank everyone that helped bring the celebration of God together. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Again, Second Baptist Church family and friends. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good. I'm going to be very brief because my stomach is grumbling, and I know Letsy coordinated the food, and it smells really delicious. We were kind of over there just making sure everything was in order. We didn't sample a single thing. Again, I just want to come up here as one of the sponsors and say thank you for everyone who helped out behind the scenes. I know there were a lot of people who helped with the decorations, Miss LaFay, with her I'm not a musician. Miss Curry and James for that marvelous piece, Miss Simone Isom for the awards. Yes. Miss Simone Isom and the Youth Awards Committee, thank you, because speaking as a youth who has received that love gift, it does help. It really does help. And I know all of the seniors that received that today, they're going to be able to either buy their books, put down their commitment fee, go to university, go to a college, anything. It does help. So please, as a youth that used to be a youth within the church, please keep giving so that we can continue to give to our youth, because they are the future. To Deacon James Brown and the Carter Scholarship Committee, thank you again for that. Again, Lexi, thank you again for the food. And again, for all the parents and guardians that helped transport our youth to Second Baptist and back, thank you, thank you, thank you. Miss Courtney, can I have you come up here really, really fast? So Courtney has really been doing a marvelous job. I don't know if you've seen her, but she's been in the choir, she was in the praise team, she was part of JAM, so she's been running around like crazy. And I'm happy that she decided to stay in San Antonio. Thank you. So we got her a little something. It's heavy. It's heavy. I didn't work out today. Here you go. So that is just appreciation from Second Baptist, just to tell you thank you and continue to grow. We want your high school diploma in there, and then I'll buy you another one when you graduate with your bachelor's, and then I'll go ahead and get you another one with the master's, and then the PhD, I'll give you that one too. And then thank you again.
And all the people of God said amen. Amen. James has an opportunity to go to New York and to play in New York. And so we at Second Baptist will pay his admission fee, and we will pray that God leads him in that competition to represent San Antonio, to represent Texas, and more than that, to represent Second Baptist, and more than that, to represent the God that has given him the talent. Second Baptist, we have an opportunity. Naya, where's Naya? Naya, she guess she's gone over to the kitchen. But I want to thank Naya. Naya came to my office. She said, Reverend Jimerson, would you let the youth do what they want to do this year? I said, yeah, I'll let the youth do what they want to do as long as it's in pursuit of excellence. She said, we will do Second Baptist proud. You'll be glad that you're our pastor. I said, okay, you want me to preach? She said, no, I don't want you to preach. I want Reverend Lett to preach. I said, Reverend Lett? It's been 10 years. She said, Reverend Jimerson, we want Reverend Lett to come back so he can see the work that he's done, that he did among us. And so I said, okay. Then they said, we want a clinician. So I went out looking for somebody to come do the music. Invited a guy to come do the music. He said he would come, told him what we would pay him, hadn't heard from him since. I said, who else would you like to have? They said, well, could you ask Mrs. Lee? Linda Lee. Linda, thank you for stepping in and doing a marvelous job. I do want to say thank you to all who have participated, and to you, Second Baptist. You know I love you, and these young people love you, and they are holding up a standard that you have set, and we praise God that we set a standard here at Second Baptist for our young people. Young people who go off to college and graduate, some of them come back and thank Second Baptist and work in Second Baptist. Others continue to praise God at a different place. But I want to say thank you to Naya Wilrich. Naya has been a part of Second Baptist since her grandfather used to bring her to Second Baptist. And she has been a part and has not left us, has given her best in service to us. And so I salute you. My mother works in the office, and that's not an advantage, that's a disadvantage. But she used her mother to make sure that things went well. And I want to say thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Wilrich. Thank you, Mrs. Winfrey. And to our custodial staff, thank you for all that you've done. We praise God. It's now time for us to go enjoy the meal that they selected. I would have had steak, ribs, and Wendy's. I would have had a great meal for you. And they did. They decided they wanted spaghetti. So guess what? We're going to have a spaghetti party. And so please, let's go over and enjoy spaghetti and chicken Alfredo. That's what they chose. It's their day. I'm going to enjoy all of it. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Reverend Ennis, as you take your flight, know we're praying for you. It's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Fast standing, and we're ready to go. Reverend Ennis, would you please come and give us our benediction?
Let us pray. Eternal and all-wise God, we come once again just to give you thanks for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord God, for this service. We thank you for these young people. Now may the grace of God and the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds through our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, and Father, we ask that you bless the food, that it be nourishment for our bodies as we have truly been fed spiritually. In Jesus' name, amen.